Kel Anderson is a naturalist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome back, Kel.
Hi.
Well, we're moving into those high summer months, and there's a lot to talk about, so let's hit some of the highlights.
Okay. So I actually made a list of blooming things because I was hoping I could get most of them. So of the things that I've seen blooming at this point in time, we have gold thread, the panicled bluebells, of course, the wild strawberries, mm-hmm. the Canada Mayflower, Clintonia or blue bead lily, dewberry or ground raspberry, some people call that, Jack in the Pulpit, rose twisted stalk, baneberry, wild sarsaparilla. Those are the ones that create those little balls of dark, almost black, deep purple berries in the midsummer that the bears really mm-hmm. go after. Columbine in the warm spots. Now, there's columbine not blooming yet in cooler, shadier places, but in the warm spots, some columbine in bloom. Pink lady slippers, bunch berry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember, but I think we've talked about this, that the bunch berries, we see their showy white bracts. Those aren't the flowers, actually. Those are these showy bracts that draw the attention of insects. They have all these little tiny flowers, really tiny, only like a tenth of an inch tall, really tiny, 20 to 50 of them in the center of that arrangement of showy white bracts. And these are the flowers that have their tiny petals, the little white petals of the flowers, actually are pinning down the stamens, anthers inside there. When they're mature and an insect drawn to those white bracts jostles the little flowers, those petals spring open at a speed that you can't see. And the pollen is ejected by a mechanism on the stamens that throws them out into the air at speeds that are like 800 times the force that astronauts experience when they go into space.
Get out of the way.
Yeah, so it can throw this pollen, you know, way up, like 10 times the height of the plant. And, of course, spraying the insect that's mm-hmm. around and embedding the pollen down in the insect so that it's less likely to be eaten by the insect. And yet when the insect goes to a plant and eventually rummages around in the little flowers, they can shed their pollen that they picked up and pollinate another plant. So amazing to think of these forces that are contained in these tiny little flowers. I mean, these are flowers you really have to get up close to see. They're that tiny, and yet there's this tremendous amount of force locked in there waiting to spring out. And this was first figured out pretty recently, like within the last 15 years only, by someone who, like, I'm sure more than that person, I can put myself in the same group, wondered why you never saw a flower partly open. You'd look at these little tiny flowers with a hand lens or something, or even just with the naked eye, and you'd never see one that was just partly open, like if you think of other, you know, blooms opening. You can kind of watch them if you look at them a couple times during the day or over the course of a couple days, depending upon the size of it. And that was never the case. An individual flower would either be open or it would be tightly closed. Well, this person set out to figure out what was going on, and with a very highly technologically enhanced methods, they were able to capture this on high speed with a high speed camera of some kind, and then measure the speed of it. So there's a lot of force being exerted out there by the bunch berries, and there are a lot of them in bloom right now. There's also Labrador tea in bloom, bog laurel or pale laurel, the dragon's mouth orchids just beginning mm-hmm. to show up. I haven't seen them yet, but I think probably the highbush cranberry and probably moose and mountain maple are probably blooming or at the point. Some of the conifers have been already candling, especially further inland, releasing, you know, vast amounts of pollen.
Vast amounts.
Yeah, dragonflies, yay, hatches
not nearly enough.
No. But they're coming. The moose have been in the wetlands a lot. Of course, they have the calves are out, but the adults in particular are been using the wetlands a lot, as some of the wetland plants provide some of that initial replenishing of sodium that they need after the course of the long winter on dry food, shall we say. This is the time of year that bears are mating. So that's going on out there. I have yet to see a bear this year. So.
No, and I'm not sure whether we've actually had them in the yard or not. I think, we something took one of our platform feeders down, but I'm not sure that it was a bear or deer will do that.
Yeah.
Nothing. Usually when a bear comes, they just knock the whole thing down, you know.
Yeah,
and, you
know, yeah.
Do a little revising, uh-huh. but... No, and I haven't heard of people seeing them either.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
which I've always felt was a good thing, because mm-hmm. I've maintained that bears always come out of their dens at least 2 weeks before they should, mm-hmm. because there's not, and this year mm-hmm. was I think a particularly good example. Yeah. There wasn't enough for them.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just as well if they can slow things down a little bit.
And speaking of deer, the deer, of course, our fawns are out,
mm-hmm.
and the deer finally are starting to get their summer reddish summer coats. That was a long time in coming this year. So lots and lots of things. We've just kind of hit the tip of the iceberg, but
well, there's still plenty.
That's what our summers are all about.
There's
right?
a lot of summer left as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Even
a lot
if
to
the
look
calendar
forward to.
Doesn't say so.
Right.
Shell Anderson regularly updates us with the goings on in our woods and waters. Thanks for bringing us up to date on early summer.
You're welcome.